We're going to have a reading from the Gospels, from Mark chapter 13. We're going to read verse 26, 27, and then 32 onwards. Now pray first, let's pray. Father, we thank and praise you for bringing us here tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to meet together, to read your word, to sing your praise, to pray to you, to encourage one another in the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. Help us to be grateful people. Help us to be joyful people. And we pray that through your word you would teach us to be joyful and you teach us to be faithful. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you now to receive the truth, the food of your holy word. Please plant it deep in us, shape it and fashion us in the likeness of the Lord Jesus. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Mark 13, verse 26. At that time, this is Jesus speaking, Jesus said, "At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens." Verse 32. "But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening, or at midnight, or when the cock crows, or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch." We have our second Bible reading now. Alex is going to read from Acts chapter 10.
Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, and beginning to read at verse 34. "Then Peter began to speak, 'I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Praise God.
And let's pray. Jesus, the living one, the living Lord of all, we thank you that you have the words of eternal life. Please speak those words to us now, we pray. Amen. Okay, turn to Acts chapter 10, please, that passage that Alec read. We're going to be looking at two verses in particular, and we'll get to those in a moment or two. And you'll see that the sermon tonight is called Global Warming. That's not a typo. We've all heard of global warming. It's very much a hot topic, isn't it, these days? Sorry about the pun there, but all this week, leaders have been meeting in Paris to talk about climate change and the results of global warming. But I want us to think about a global warning tonight. The run-up to Christmas is traditionally a time for warnings. The warning, I'm sure, is going out tonight. It's going out all over the world. It's a warning that parents issue to their children all over the world. My parents issued it to me. It's a warning clearly expressed in a very well-known Christmas song. Let me read it to you. I won't sing it. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list, and he's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been good or bad. So be good, for goodness sake. That's the warning. You better watch out. Santa Claus is coming to town. So you better be good. Now, I want us to think about another global warning tonight. In some ways, it's similar to the one we get in Santa Claus is Coming to Town, but in other ways, it's totally different. I want us to listen to God's global warning, the warning of God. This is it. You better watch out. Jesus Christ is coming. Jesus Christ is coming. It's a warning that dominates the church's calendar at this time of year. We're in the season of Advent. Christian year traditionally begins with Advent. Advent comes from the Latin word, means arrival. Advent celebrates the arrival of Jesus Christ. And you're probably a bit like me. You probably think or thought that Advent, the season of Advent, focused on the first coming of Jesus, preparing us to celebrate the birth of the baby born in Bethlehem. That's what I used to think, but I was wrong. The focus of Advent in the church's calendar, so if you look at the lectionaries, the set readings for the major denominations, the focus of Advent is on the second coming of Jesus Christ. So Advent in the church's calendar celebrates the return of Jesus at the end of time when he will bring in a new age. So it's quite strange, really, isn't it? In the Christian calendar, you start with the end, and you go on to the beginning. Start with the second coming, go on to the first coming. It's a strange order, isn't it? But it actually makes perfect sense, because Advent makes sense of Christmas. You won't understand Christmas unless you understand Advent. Without the second coming of Christ, the first coming of Christ makes no sense whatsoever. The order is very, very important. And we've got the same order in our passage tonight. So these two verses from the Bible that I want us to look at tonight, Acts chapter 10, verses 42 and 43. Let's look at them together. It comes in this sermon that Peter is giving in the house of Cornelius, the centurion. And he's saying that this is what Jesus has taught us, his people, his apostles, to teach to people. This is the summary message that Christ gave his church to take to the world. And each verse centers on an arrival, an advent. Verse 42 focuses on the second advent of Jesus, the second arrival, the second appearing. And the second verse focuses on the first appearing of Jesus. So let's look at it. Verse 42. He, that's Jesus, commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. That's his second coming, isn't it? That's where Jesus wants them to begin. That's where he wants the church to begin, with his return as judge of the world. Then in the next verse, we go back to the first coming. Verse 43, all the prophets testify about him, that's Jesus, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. That summarizes Jesus' life on earth. His life, his death, his resurrection. So what Jesus is saying is, Peter, apostles, my church, my people, tell the world how I'm coming again and tell them how I came the first time. Tell the world that I'm coming again and tell them how I came the first time and why. So verse 42, we've got God's global warning. The second coming of Jesus is more often referred to than any other truth or fact in the New Testament. Did you know that? And the Christian creeds summarize it for us in this way: he shall come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And we've just said those words. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. The New Testament message is centered not on Christmas Day. The New Testament message is centered not even primarily on Good Friday, the day that Jesus died. It is not even centered primarily on Easter Day, the day when Jesus rose. None of those 3 days is at the heart of the apostles' message. Now, the day which dominates the whole New Testament is the day of the Lord, the day on which Jesus returns. And God's message is, you better watch out. Be on your guard. The day is coming. Now, we know when Santa Claus is coming. Sometime before, between bedtime on Christmas Eve and waking up time on Christmas Day. Anyway, that's when I used to hear all the activity as a child when I was lying in bed. That's when the noise was happening. Sometime between bedtime, Christmas Eve, and sometime before waking up on Christmas Day. You know when he's coming. But the return of Jesus Christ is different. We don't know when he's coming back. Jesus says, Mark chapter 13, no one knows about that day or hour, so be on your guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will be. It's a warning, a global warning. It's a global message because it's relevant to everyone in the world. Jesus says to his disciples, what I say to you, I say to everyone. To everyone, watch. Look at verse 42 again. Who is it that Jesus is going to judge? Is it the rich? Is it Western civilization? Is it the Christian world? No. He's going to judge the living and the dead. Now, who's included in that statement, the living and the dead? Everyone. Everyone. Every race, every color, every creed, every background, every status, everyone. The Christian message is the announcement to everyone that on the last day, they're going to stand before Jesus Christ. They're going to meet Jesus, whether they want to or not. Now, we have to say that most people have no interest in these things whatsoever, and they have no intention of bowing the knee to Jesus. But one day, they will have to bow before him. You cannot opt out of this. This is an appointment that every person is going to make. And we shall all see Jesus as he really is. We will see him eyeball to eyeball, face to face. That is an awesome thought. And he will decide then where everybody belongs. He will decide then where you belong, where I belong. With him in heaven, in the glorious new creation, or apart from him, without him, in hell. Our destiny is in his hands. It's not in our hands. It's in his hands. That's awesome. And it's also wonderful, because we live in a very unjust world. And it's going to be an unjust world until the end of time, until this great day when Jesus returns. But what a day it's going to be when all the wrongs are put right. What a fantastic day. When all the terrorists and all the war criminals are finally exposed and judged, and no one gets away with it. All the rapists, all the murderers, all the paedophiles, all the liars, all the cheats, all the slanderers, all will be discovered, all will be judged. And that's a wonderful thing, that justice stands at the end of time. It's a wonderful thing that all the bills are going to be paid. We don't live in an unjust world after all, because Jesus is going to come as judge. Good news. Jesus is qualified to judge us because he knows the truth about us. He really does know everything. Now that's a scary thought, isn't it? He knows everything. He does see you when you're sleeping. He really does. And he really does know when you're awake. He knows absolutely everything about you, absolutely everything. How often have you taken the consolation from the fact that you've got away with something? Now, it's happened to me lots of times. I thought, phew, got away with that. No one found out about that. That thing I said, that thing I did. Whew, seems to have gone by unnoticed. What a relief. Thank goodness for that. Got away with it. No. No, all will be revealed on that day because he sees all. He knows all. The Bible says that we will be judged according to what we've done as recorded in the books. Revelation chapter 20. It's all recorded. Jesus has got his list. And nothing is omitted from Jesus' list. It's all there. Our thoughts aren't even omitted from the list. What I've been thinking for the past 45 years is on there. Jesus said in Luke 12, he said, nothing is concealed that's not going to be disclosed. There's absolutely nothing concealed. There's nothing that people are trying to hide that's not going to be brought out in the open. It's all going to be brought out. Nothing hidden that's not going to be made known. So you look at the list, yeah, the good things are there, but so are the bad things. The things that we're ashamed of, the things that we thought we'd managed to hush up, all there. That's a terrifying thing. Jesus knows all. Jesus sees all. He knows if we've been bad or good, and his verdict is all bad. He's got his list, but he doesn't have to check it twice because he knows who's been naughty and he knows who's been nice, and his verdict is all naughty. We're all on the naughty list. Because God's requirement for entrance into his kingdom is this. Love God with all your heart. Love God with all your soul. Love God with all your mind. Love God with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And do that all the time, every day, every second of every day. That's the standard for heaven. And I don't rate very well on either of those two criteria. I have failed miserably on both those things, and all of us have. So we do not have what we need to enter heaven. We do have what we need to enter hell. And what we need, if we're to be accepted into heaven, into God's kingdom, into the wonderful new creation, what we need is a clean track record with God. And amazingly, and wonderfully, and brilliantly, that is the gift that God, in his love, offers us. Verse 43. All the prophets testify about him, Jesus, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So we go from God's global warning to God's global invitation. What the prophets foretold in the Old Testament was that The God who would come to judge his world on the last day would come himself into the world to prepare his people for that day. That day which otherwise they wouldn't have a leg to stand on. And he would come into the world to prepare them and get them ready for that day so that they could be ready for the big day. He's come the first time to prepare us for the second time so that the ending for us can be a happy one. That's why that baby was born. To bring God's forgiveness. To bring God's forgiveness from heaven. Not to bring God's fire from heaven. That's going to happen on the last day when he returns. He came the first time to bring forgiveness. Not to condemn the world, but to save the world. Baby came to bring God's forgiveness to all who believe and trust in him. And that is why the order is important, do you see? The first coming is God's solution to the second coming. But the first coming only makes sense in the light of that second coming, of that day for which we need to be ready, and in which God's grace and goodness we can be ready now. Jesus Christ did come to town. God kept his promise, and he sent his son to Bethlehem, and he lived a perfect life for us. Jesus did love God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, and with all his strength. He really did. Perfectly. Every second of every day of his life. And he did love his neighbor as himself. Every second of every day of his life. He fulfilled the law. He did it perfectly. He did come to town. He rode into town. He rode into Jerusalem to die for us. And as Jesus died on the cross, he took our sin. He took our bad track record with God onto himself. He was punished for that. He suffered God's wrath for that. That wrath that we deserve, he suffered it. Lovingly, willingly. And in return, he offers us forgiveness for all we've done. And he offers us a brand new start with God. A new start. Fresh start. He offers us his perfect track record with God. As a gift to keep forever. How about that? His perfect track record with God. He offers to us. And it's ours forever if we want it. Jesus did an amazing thing for us. He comes into the world. He makes this astonishing offer. He says, you give me your badness, you give me your rebellion, and I will take the punishment for you. I'll endure the hell of being separated from God, and I will give you my goodness to keep forever so that you can know the joy of being with God. That is God's Christmas offer. It is the best offer ever. And because Jesus rose again, we know that that offer holds good. It is a real gift. It's not a pretend gift. It is a real gift. It's got a guarantee with it. So to ignore Christ's first coming is such a disastrous thing. It's to be totally unprepared for the greatest day in the history of the universe, the final day when all the things of this world will be wrapped up and all the new ones will begin. Please notice, who can receive this forgiveness to prepare for that judgment day? You see that wonderful word. It's one of the best words in the Bible. It's there, verse 43. All the prophets testify that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. It is a global invitation. Everyone who believes. There's no one too bad, no one too far off. This is an invitation for everyone to believe in Jesus and receive forgiveness of sins through his name. It's a wonderful thing. The gift that everybody needs is the gift that God offers to everyone. The gift that everybody needs is the gift that God offers to everyone. And everyone can receive it. How? By being good? No, we're not good. Not good enough, we can't be good enough. Very simply by believing in Jesus, by trusting in him, by accepting what he has done for us, we accept his goodness. That's how we receive it. And if there is anyone here who hasn't received that gift of forgiveness by believing in Jesus, why not? Why not? Is it that you don't want it? Is it that you don't think you need it? Why not? Please think again. Just imagine. Imagine Jesus comes back tomorrow, and he may well do. And you're summoned, along with everybody else, to stand before him, and he asks you, what are you doing here unforgiven? What are you doing here unforgiven? What are you going to say? I lived a good life, Jesus. Tried to be good. I wasn't as bad as other people. Or you're going to say, well, I never really got round to it. Didn't really have the time. Didn't really think it mattered all that much, actually. Well, surely the response will come. Well, you should have known better. You should have known better. Why ever do you think that I left heaven and came to earth? Why do you think that I went to the cross? Why do you think that I was cut off from my Father? Of course it matters. Nothing matters more. You should have known better. So let me ask you again. Have you received the gift of forgiveness? And if not, will you take it? Everybody needs it. You need it. Everyone can have it. You can have it. Take it by turning from your sin and trusting in Jesus, and make this the best Christmas ever. The best day ever. And if you have taken that step, and I know that there's many, many people who have believed in Jesus, then just rejoice. Rejoice tonight. You stand forgiven. You have what you need to meet Jesus on Judgment Day. Whatever else is happening in your life at the moment, that is a reason to rejoice. The most important thing that you need, you have. You have what you need to enter heaven, and not just to enter heaven, but you have what you need to stay there for all eternity. Rejoice. But don't be proud about it. That's not something to be proud about. It's not something for Christians to be smug about or arrogant about, because it's not something that we've earned, is it? It's not something that we deserve. It's something that we've received. Everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. It is a gift. It is a gift that has been given to us by God, a generous, generous Father. It is a costly gift that has been paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son. He paid for it. And we should praise him for it. And we should praise him for it today. And we should praise him for it tomorrow. And we should praise him for it every day. And we will be praising him for it for all eternity. The Christian message focuses on the two arrivals of Jesus Christ. His coming at the end of time to judge the world, and his coming 2,000 years ago to get the world ready for that day. He is the judge who can do what no earthly judge can do. He can prepare you and me so completely for that final day that when it comes and we stand before him, there will be no case to answer. So let's hear God's global warning. Jesus Christ is coming. Jesus Christ is coming. And let us also hear God's global invitation. Believe in Jesus and receive forgiveness of sins through his name. Watch out. Jesus Christ is coming. Believe in him, for goodness sake. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank and praise you for the absolutely sure promise that your Son, Jesus Christ, will come to judge the world. A day of justice. A day when all the wrongs are going to be put right. A day when all the bills will be paid. But we know that we are sinful and we need your rescue. Please make us ready for Jesus coming. Thank you for your grace and mercy in sending him to die and to rise again for us. If we haven't yet done so, please give us that gift of repentance and faith so that we can believe in him. And if we have decided to trust Jesus, to turn from our sin, if we have decided to follow him, please keep giving us repentance and faith in him. Please make us, every single day, faithful servants. Help us to wait for his return. Help us to work for his return, that we might speed his coming. Help us to be faithful stewards of the gospel you've given us. Help us to proclaim it. Help us to proclaim his second coming in judgment. And help us proclaim his first coming in salvation. And we pray, Lord, that people will hear and people will respond positively and they will know joy. Please be at work this Christmas time amongst the ministry and mission of this church. Bring salvation, Father, we pray. Make people ready for that big day. And may you be glorified and praised because of it. Amen.